Unless it's a life-threatening situation.
Yeah.
The lessons are fine. You know, we've had so many things happen on this trip where, particularly, you know, with our gear, we've been in the desert, we've, you know, cracked one of our water tank hoses and it's drained all the water in the middle of the desert. No towns for like 600 Ks.
Yeah.
And we had to get a little bit creative with how we save water and utilize what we had left. So you will adapt. You can adapt. It's fine. Go out there. Do it.
Absolutely.
Follow your dreams. Take the time.
Yeah.
Discover what life is really about. That's
absolutely.
That's the one biggest takeaway, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. And you cannot replace that growth. Like, that growth is the most invaluable thing. Wait.
Invaluable, that's yeah. right.
I confused myself for a second. It is because, yeah, like, and a workplace really should, you know, nurture that and love that because you're growing and you are just going to be bigger and better when you come back. You're going to really take off because, for one, you've charged the Tesla, you're feeling pretty good energetically, but you've learned about yourself, you've discovered new talents, you've discovered new ways of adapting, better interpersonal skills, different, you know, so many different things that we've picked up on this trip, so many different things. And even just the value of work, like, that's one of the biggest relationships changes, like the perception changes that I think we've both had, is like, work is really important. It's really important because it helps you to live the life you want to live. It helps you to, you know,
obtain the skills that you need.
Absolutely. It's just
helps you connect to people. It's not about ending work. That's not where we're at now. It's quite the opposite.
No. And it doesn't have to be completely your purpose. Like, work can be separate to the things you love. It can be work and you can do it well and you can, you know, while you're there, be all present and, you know, really, really care about the company and all of those kind of things. But you can also, like, have it separate to the things that you want to do outside of work and love. And that was a really huge realization for us, is like, trying to make work your purpose is sometimes just exhausting.
Welcome to the Dancing with Doubt podcast. I'm your host, Dan.
And I'm Anita for Rewrite Your Story.
And you also happen to be my wife, who I'm sharing this amazing journey with.
We've got an amazing episode ahead. We've kind of been in this fantasy world for 12 months where we've been traveling around with our dog, our cat, and our trusty Toyota Hilux.
And a caravan, where we're coming to you from now, our studio.
Yeah, but on this journey, we've really learned some valuable lessons, both in business and in life. With our relationship, with pretty much every aspect of life.
Our approach to life, our approach to work, and also how we've been able to really distill our true values and our true desires. And now we can take that back with renewed vigor and rigor and motivation back into the business world. So stay tuned. It's going to be an episode that's full of tidbits and deep insights based on our currently 10-month journey on the roads. But you know what? Living in a forest and the bush for that while, I think we've come out pretty good.
Yeah, we've definitely changed quite a lot. And you might even notice that from the first podcast to the next.
Yeah, so stay tuned. Stay tuned. And let's get into it. Welcome back to the hot seat, Anita. Can you believe that it's actually been 10 months since we left home?
I can't, actually. There was like a time when it felt like everything was going really, really slowly. And then all of a sudden it started to go super, super fast. Yeah. So I'm kind of feeling a little bit like overwhelmed and a little bit in grief about the fact of, yeah, where we're at. But yeah, we're here either way.
I must admit, I don't actually know what to think. There is equal amounts of maybe a little bit of grief, but also excitement for the road ahead, because this has been the journey of a lifetime.
Absolutely.
I can't describe it any more than that. But the journey's not ending. Just there's going to be a new chapter. That's the way that you have to think about it. Otherwise, we'll just become super depressed.
Yeah. It's funny because you think like a longer holiday, you're going to feel sort of like, you know, like a little bit of anxiety or whatever coming back to work or whatever like this. And with a longer holiday, you feel like you should be a little bit more, you know, ready and prepared.
Yeah.
But it's no different to any holiday, whether it's 2 weeks or 12 months. It's like back to reality. And as much as this has been a reality, it's also been a little bit of a fantasy world.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's a lot to integrate.
Yeah, I think that this notion of coming back to reality, it's an interesting one. And I know that it's one that we've grappled with when we have been fully employed and we are going back to an established job.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you live in a certain reality when you're on holiday, but I guess your closest reality and the reality you spend the most time in is your home life.
Yeah.
But at the moment, there's actually not really much of a home life to come back to for us.
Mm.
As an example, we don't have a house to come back to. It's still rented out. We haven't given our tenants any notice. We don't have full-time jobs to come back to at this stage. So we're kind of having to go back because we want to see family and we need to replenish the funds. But it does feel a little bit different that way because it's a clean slate.
It is. It's exciting and like a bit of anxiety at the same time. Like someone said, you know, like anxiety and excitement share the same like bodily sensations.
Yeah.
And it's so true because it's like really about the mental state that you have towards what you're kind of coming up to, whether it's anxious, where it feels like, oh, like fear, or if it's exciting, where it's like all of the same sort of sensations where you're feeling a little bit like, oh, my tummy's rumbling.
Yeah.
Like, but is it excitement? It could be excitement. So I guess it's depending on your perception, right?
Yeah. And I guess you could have elements of both. You can
Absolutely.
Fear because you don't know the road ahead. I don't know where we're camping tomorrow night, as an example, let alone where we'll be in a week. But I do know that Melbourne is calling us and soon we'll be back to it.
Yes.
So we've just talked a little bit about phases, but I want to delve a little bit deeper into it because we've obviously not produced a podcast episode for a good 6 months now. And that's actually surprised me a little bit because when we left, maybe you shared the sentiment, but
yeah.
I had this view that we're going to be smashing out heaps of content. We're going to be digesting heaps and it's going to be for all the world to see. But after we left the Dampier Peninsula 6 months ago, when we recorded our last episode, we haven't actually produced anything for Dancing with Doubt.
Mm.
And initially I had a little bit of anxiety about that and putting pressure on myself and going, well, why don't I have this desire to jump on the camera and record another podcast episode?
Yeah.
Especially since we put so much work into the previous ones and you know, everything that happened in 2023. But now that I look back on it, I think we were actually just putting way too much pressure on ourselves to try and get outcomes.
Absolutely.
On a trip where we're trying to disconnect and find out what's next.
It's almost like we were trying to live at the same pace as being in a full-time job or being, you know, in Melbourne in a big city. It's like our bodies hadn't had a chance to kind of get up to speed, that we were like in this new environment, and how we were going to make the most of that maybe wasn't to fill that time with tasks or, you know, goals. It was actually about becoming present.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, that's obviously something that we've shaped and changed along the way. And definitely around the podcast, I think that we really did have those intentions of being like, we want to talk about, you know, what we go through, what our emotions are. But going through them was enough, you know, like it was enough. And we didn't have to at the time broadcast it because it didn't feel right. And now it does.
Yeah. And I think it's also a matter of properly digesting the lessons that are learned. And similar to, you know, certain experiences that we had in South America when we came back from there.
Yeah.
These things take time to digest and to solidify and for you to actually make sense of them in your mind and in your heart. Because we've been bombarded with so much stimuli.
Yeah.
I think we've done 40,000 kilometers around the whole country. We're on the home stretch now. So many different terrains, different people, tough situations, amazing situations, and everything in between. It's a lot to digest. And I think this episode will scratch a little bit of the surface. Whatever we can eke out, we will give as a digest. But the lessons are going to start to really form over the coming months, particularly when we're back, I think.
Absolutely. And I think it's like this pressure of like when you're back in Melbourne, I'm just saying Melbourne because that's where we've come from. Like if you're back home, you know, you always said, if I had time, I would do this, this and that. And there was this pressure that is like, oh, I always said I would do this course, that, this, like all of these different things, right? If I had time, I'd exercise more, I'd eat better, I would, you know, do that podcast, I would, you know, start a content creating thing, like, you know,
work out, do yoga,
absolutely,
sightsee,
and
connect with my animals.
Yeah. And you say this to yourself every day when you're at home in Melbourne or wherever you live, like you say this to yourself, You're like, if I had more time, I would do. And it's funny when you have the time and you still don't want to do it. You still don't feel like doing it. And the reality is like that it's actually a kind of a BS thing, like saying that when I have the time, I'll do it. The reality is you'll do it when you want to do it,
yeah,
or you'll do it when you actually care about it. You actually have the passion for it. It's not something that you're just going to do. You need to have some discipline. You need to set some sort of routine, even in a free living nomadic life.
Yeah.
And we've learned that along the way.
100%. And also the most important thing, I think, is you need to be present and open your eyes to the world around you right now.
Yeah.
Not where am I going to be in 6 months or 2 months or whatever.
Yeah.
It's what am I seeing? Mm. I'm waking up and I'm opening the door and Ningaloo Reef is in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm on the sand and that's all that matters right now. My beautiful wife next to me, my dog, my cat, and just this amazing expanse of nature. And then you wake up again and you're in the Kimberley.
Mm.
And what do you see? You're in the jungle and there's waterfalls and gorges. And to me, that's what was the most important thing at the time. And as much as I love my fans and I love all the listeners and watchers of us, at that stage in our life, that was the most important thing. To slow down, yeah, put the phones down, obviously record a bit of content still in terms of scenery, but everything else can wait. That's where we're
absolutely at. Yeah. And like, I think it was that realization that social media, as much as it's a tool, as much as we have used it for both of us in business and in, you know, conversation, and it is a beautiful thing, it also does really take you out of the moment, because if you're constantly thinking of, like, oh, that would be good content, or maybe I should go back and step 10 steps back and re-record that, it really does interfere with, you know, the present moment.
Yeah.
And we did have that discussion at one point where we were just like, what do we want from this trip? You know, like, do we really want to be constantly in the headspace of almost like an out of body thing, like where you're like seeing yourself doing the thing in order to create a video or in order to create something. And there is a lot of beauty in this creativity, but doing it all the time, it really, really does separate you from the experience. And again, like, having these conversations when it feels right, when it's a passionate, more natural flow, is definitely something that I've learned. Even with exercise on this trip, like, something that I was so adamant that I was going to be doing, and I do it so hard when I was at home, and like every single day I'm working out every single time. This was the first time that I just let myself flow, and I was like,
yeah,
I don't feel like doing that today. I don't feel like doing this today. And it's funny how, you know, the world didn't cave in and your body kind of adapts to it. And yeah, so there was this, all these little minor changes, these little coming into the present moment and checking in and going, how do I feel in this moment? And being able to connect with you, being able to connect with my cat, my dog, and just nature, it was the most important thing to do. And it really was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth separating from those external sort of things for a little bit of time. And it's not really been that long of a time if you think about it, but it's actually been the most transformative, like, that you could really ask for.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And when you look at this itch that we used to get at home of, you know, needing to do more and achieve more, I think the genesis of that tends to come from other people's expectations or what you see other people doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I found myself, even on this trip, we'd be in very remote places. There's not even any Telstra reception. We just had the Starlink, and I'd be on my social media feed.
Yeah.
And I'd be looking at other people's laps of Australia. And then I just sort of go, hang on a second. I'm on my own lap of Australia. I'm living this amazing experience. What the F am I doing looking at other people's feeds? Put the phone down, go out there and live. And when I started adopting that mentality, that's where, and stopped trying to force lessons and force phases of my life to come in, that's where the real work really started.
Yeah.
And that's where the answers started coming to
me. Absolutely.
When I switched off that expectation.
And comparison of other people's lives, you know, like, their trip looks nicer than ours, or their videos look better than
ours. Of course they do. They've got a drone and we don't.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually consciously made the decision not to do that, because just after the first podcast, we kind of were like, okay, so what do we want to be? Are we going to be proper content creators where we, like, you know, buy all the equipment and take, you know, hours of our day, you know, to just film, to just, you know, content create and stuff like that.
And edits.
Yeah. And we made the decision not to do that.
Yeah.
But then we still found ourselves comparing to people who were doing that, but doing it like fully as almost their job, maybe even their job, or, you know, it's their lifestyle. So yeah, you find yourself still comparing yourself, still trying to be in this competitive nature that even when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a very big lesson, I think. Very at this, like very much just after we'd finished this podcast the first time, pretty much. And yeah, so we decided not to do that.
Fortunately as well, Mother Nature came to the rescue, because when you're surrounded by such epic scenery, the most incredible landscapes that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You know, akin to anywhere we've been in South America or Africa or Europe.
Costa Rica. Yeah.
You're forced to be present and live in that reality. And it becomes a lot easier to put that phone down and disconnect from the world. And that's probably another really good lesson learned here, because of the media cycle that we exist in, particularly in the cities and towns, because of the sheer amount of stimuli that we're bombarded with. When you do put that phone down and you do disconnect from that, you really learn a lot about the world and yourself and what truly, truly matters to you. Because all of that stuff distracts away from your mission and finding out what your mission is and what's really important to you.
100%. Yeah, I agree. It's just like the whole body, the nervous system, the thoughts, everything has a moment to breathe, a moment to stop. And therefore, you are much better able to connect with your true self and what you want in your life, what you value. And most of the time on this trip, that lesson was family and us, you know, like we've been through all kind of elements of a roller coaster on this trip. But right now, I would say we are in the best position we've ever been as a couple, as a family, because of that, because we stopped looking at other people. We stopped trying to overachieve and just, I feel like I listen to you better. I feel like I pause and actually hear what you're saying. And I feel like our connection when we, you know, are out in nature, it's just, we don't even have to speak to each other, but we just feel a love connection. Mm. And it's because we've literally detached from all of those other things. And it just shows you what it's like to live life, you know, how maybe hundreds of years ago people were living, and what a difference it is. The world of technology, as much as it's valuable, as much as it's integral to, you know, the future, it's important and it is a great tool, but it really does disconnect from the human connection.
Yep.
So it's been a real blessing to be able to still have social media here and there, but when we've been out doing things, just having that presence, that absolute active listening of each other, you know.
It's interesting you talk about how much better you're speaking and listening now. And I remember at the very, very start of the trip, that was actually something that you said that you wanted to work on. And you had some anxiety about finding the right words to use in sentences, speaking to people, and basically, yeah, not seeming like you're just, you know, a bit of a noob.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you now and my heart is actually lighting up, because you are speaking so well. The connection is so deep. And think of the people from all walks of life that we've come into contact with on this trip, and how we've been able to deal with difficult situations and how we've called upon people, we've helped people. But that hasn't been forced. That's actually come naturally just by looking deep within, putting the phone down, getting away from technology and just seeing what your default mode is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at your default mode now and it is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. And it is a world away from the person that you were when you moved away from Melbourne. Yeah. And I think these lessons can also be applied to managing a change of career or a transition in your career, because that was one of the things that we were looking at doing. At the start of this trip, we weren't really sure if we wanted to keep on the same path that we were on before.
Yeah.
We sort of let that sit and didn't really think too much about it. But now I found that there's actually been a lot of really valuable lessons learned.
Yeah.
And there's actually clarity on our future direction.
Mm. And it's not necessarily what we expected.
Mm.
I think that we both would have expected that there was going to be this like massive, like, radical changes. Yeah. And I think we fought with that within ourselves quite a lot, that what we were coming back to might not be exciting enough. But when your values change and you kind of have a different perspective on why you're working and how much you've put into maybe the industry that you work in, like you kind of pat yourself on the back a little bit, because I was always kind of, I'm a creative person, you know, why am I in logistics? You know, why am I, you know, doing something that's not, you know, pretty? It's not a pretty, you know, glamorous.
It's not sexy.
Yeah, it's not sexy, right? But then, oh, actually, funnily, on this trip, I've just kind of been able to acknowledge that I've just been making sort of some excuses because I've been playing small, and I've actually put in 15 years into this industry. How it happened, we'll never know. 15 years, and it's like, that's amazing. Like, that's a really,
that's
really,
got value.
That's got
that's
value.
That's got immense value.
Yeah, so it's like, not the expectation that I had, like, to come back and feel like I was going to do this complete career overhaul. I actually feel a lot more connected to the path that I've taken and a little bit more confident. And yeah, it's just interesting because sometimes we think the changes have to be so extreme, so radical. They have to look sexy. They have to come across as, like, when someone asks you, so what did you learn on this trip? If it doesn't sound, you know, crazy and wild, like, it's not valuable. But the reality is, yeah, that what you've learned is extremely valuable. What I've learned is to actually stop talking badly about my experiences or talking it down, because I should have been doing this instead because I did a music degree, you know, like, I should be doing music. I should be doing that. My life is where it's at. And my experience is valuable. It is actually really commendable.
And it's also sustained that experience, and all of the work that you've done to get to this point actually resulted in us being able to go away for almost a year and do this trip.
Yeah.
Is that not value in itself?
Absolutely.
Like, just everything else aside, the fact that our lifestyles and our hard work have actually given us this amazing opportunity that not a lot of people get.
Yeah.
I feel very, very blessed. And my perspective about work and my past working life has actually changed dramatically, even from the last episode that we did.
Yeah.
Because I think we came into this trip with other people's expectations in mind.
Absolutely.
Of needing this big radical change, and by the end of it, we're going to be, I don't know, social media celebrities, or we're going to go on Elon Musk's rocket ship to the moon.
Yeah.
We can manifest anything we like, and you absolutely can. But if you can take a clear-eyed look at your situation and yourself and your experience and see the value in that, and the fact that you don't actually need to throw it away.
No.
You can. Anyone can throw it away. That's the easiest option. And start anew. But then what?
Yeah.
Why throw it away? Particularly if you can get back in there, you can enhance it, you can use the new skills that you've learned, integrate them.
Yeah.
And make it what you want it to be. You know, as an example, a lot of people in the corporate world think that the corporate world is not a creative place.
Yeah.
And yes, in some roles, creativity can be stifled, particularly in a very hierarchical organization. But I found that I'm actually a super creative person.
Absolutely.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring that creativity back to the corporate world.
Mm.
And I'm going to make some cool shit happen. Some fun, special, sexy stuff. Maybe sexy, maybe not. I don't know. But it's going to be creative. And I'm going to integrate that creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you can do that in any, you know, industry that you are in. It doesn't matter. And it's really about, again, like, say that you're working in, you know, a business development or sales role or something like this. It's like those roles can be considered creative roles, you know. It's about how you're going to approach a situation. How are you problem solving? Like, these skills that you learn are transferable as well into other industries. So it's just, yeah, it's funny how I expected this trip would be so, like, life-changing. And it has been, but not in the way I expected it.
Yeah.
Not in the way I expected it.
I think also because we've come into contact with so many different people from all walks of life, that is another really valuable skill that we're going to bring back to the
Absolutely.
Workforce. The ability to adapt and pivot and connect with people on any level. Whether it's having a yarn by a campfire, whether it's helping out a couple of backpackers on the side of the roads in the outback like we did. The if you don't have the people skills, you will not succeed in business.
No.
It's as simple as that. Even if you're not in a client-facing role, it's all about people and how you connect with them and how you can form that common ground.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that's been such a massive, massive plus of this trip.
Yeah. So what would you say, like, were your lessons learned if you were to, you know, actually give off a couple of things?
Look, at the start of this trip, I had this idea that money can be replaced, but your time can't.
Yeah.
And what I found is the time has actually gone really, really quickly.
Yeah.
The 10, almost 11 months since we left has gone like that. I look back and go, oh my God, it was only, felt like last week we were in Western Australia. We're now on the border of Victoria and New South Wales.
I know.
And that's okay. That's okay. I think that's normal in life, particularly when you're having the time of your life, for the time to flow quickly. But it just reinforced to me the fact that it was so, so worth it.
Yeah.
Yes, we're a lot down on money. We knew we were going to spend it. We spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that. And I didn't used to be okay with spending this amount of money. I had a real problem with money spending. But I'm totally cool with it.
Yeah.
So that's been a really big lesson learned. Be okay to spend your money.
Mm.
Go out there, live your life, because time is so, so short. You know, think of the people that we know that have departed from this world already. And
absolutely.
It's only March. Again, just more reinforcement that go out there, if you have the opportunity, live your life. Spend your money. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. You won't get this time back.
Yeah.
That's the not okay bit. But it's like, we don't have a choice, but you get where I'm going.
Yeah. That's a really great lesson. And I could definitely second that in a way from the same, you know, idea that it really is important to take time with your family, because, you know, time goes so fast. And that realization has been, you know, right in our face this whole time. And being separated from our family actually was one of the things that we were like, oh, we're not going to have this time with our family. So it made us really value going home in a way that we would get that time with our friends and family again. And that, as much as me and you love the life out of each other, like, it is important to value that time more when we go back. Because I think you and I had a tendency to work and then spend our weekends out doing stuff together, you know, out in nature, the stuff that we've been doing all this year. And maybe we should, you know, prioritize our time a little bit better to not just do things for us, but for our family and for our friends, and be more there for them. And not that we weren't, but I mean, I just feel like we really, really need to just really appreciate the people you have in your life. And it does get lonely on the road. So there's been those times where we've really felt that disconnect from our friends and our family. And yeah, so it's kind of like time goes fast. So really love and appreciate the people that mean something to you and make time for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is such a good lesson learned. Yeah. Because in life is full of many fleeting interactions with people. We're busy. Some of us work in offices. Some of us work on construction sites and everywhere in between. Even on the road, we come into contact with people daily.
Yeah.
Many people. You're in public places. You have almost no escape other than your little caravan. But most of those interactions are very fleeting, and they will not tick that inner, deeper desire to really connect on a soul level with someone. And I agree with you so much. Mm. You must make that time with your family and friends. And being on a trip like this, you really do actually find out, who are your real friends?
Exactly.
Who do I really want to connect to? What do I really see in a person that makes me want to form an even deeper relationship with? That clarity, thankfully, in a way, it has come from that disconnection.
Yeah. And again, it's just like, it comes from that feeling of loneliness, and it's not a nice feeling. That's one of the things on this trip that we have had to battle. Like, there's been so much beauty on this trip, but there has been loneliness at times where we've got each other. So it's not, you know, loneliness to some other people's experiences, but who reaches out to you, who out of your friends and family have contacted you to see how you're going. And don't get me wrong, we have to do the same. So it's, yeah, really learning to prioritize those people that mean something to you, the people that care about you. And I think that's a big lesson going home for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I would even expand that to not just friends and family, but people from a work setting.
Absolutely.
On this trip, we've actually visited two of my previous bosses.
Exactly.
One in Byron Bay and one in Sydney. And that's the first time I've ever done something like that, you know, in my life.
Yeah.
Not only did we visit them, but we were treated to a very sumptuous lunch and drinks at both locations. And it was just really special to connect in a non-work setting with those people because, you know, at work, especially if someone's your boss, you are limited in terms of what you can talk about and what you can share.
Mm.
But in this regard, it was actually a really fantastic way of reconnecting with some work people that, and realizing the full fruits of the relationship.
Yeah, because sometimes at work, you don't see people as human in a way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you don't see them as like the version of themselves outside of work, right? So to have that interaction and like see the humanity, see the like, you know, truth of their life, you know, with their kids. And it does show you that you could make friendships at work, maybe that you weren't fostering or weren't, you know, you thought you didn't have something in common. I'm very lucky within my logistics career. I have made some of my closest friends at work. And that's something I've been really, really, really appreciative of. Like, I think three of my very closest friends I met at work, which is amazing. And, you know, people say that you don't make lasting friendships later in life, but I think that that's untrue. I think it is harder to make friendships as you get older, like ones that stick. But sometimes we don't actually give that time to people at work, do we? And I'm glad 100%. That, yeah, I'm glad that I have done that throughout my career because I have amazing friendships from work. And yeah, some people think that that's kind of like, oh, we don't cross work and home, but I think that's crazy.
If you spend up to a third of your life around a group of people, it's natural for you to be drawn and want to have a connection with those people. Yeah. Sometimes there are barriers, but I think it's unnatural not to try and form those connections, personally.
Yeah, and sometimes there's this attitude of like, oh, I just work with them and they're not my kind of people. But like after going and spending time with like two of your previous work colleagues and bosses, like it was completely untrue, you know? Like that's completely untrue.
Well, what even is my type of person?
Yeah, exactly. That's
the thing. Like when we started off this trip, we were two city, I wouldn't say kids, but two... relatively young city people.
Yeah.
Had pretty much no four-wheel drive experience. Never towed a caravan. The dog had come on some camping trips with us. Yeah. The cat had never come anywhere with us. And we just rented out our house and went, all right, see you later. Bye-bye. Yeah. We're gone. We were not those people. We were not the people that would go cross a desert road.
Or what you would think. Yeah, right.
For days. We would not be the sort of people that would jump on a tinny and, you know...
Go fishing.
We're not the sort of people that would live in a forest. We've been living in the forest for the past few weeks, you know, visiting the beach during the day, forest by night.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't those people, but we are. You can change.
Weren't the sort of people that don't get their hair done and don't get their nails done.
I haven't had a hot shower. I don't remember the last time I had a hot shower. Maybe 3 weeks ago, I think.
I think the hot tap outside was hot for about five minutes and then it kind of stopped.
But it's okay. It's completely okay because I think that as a human, you do evolve.
And you connect with people. Like you connect with all kinds of people. Like some of the people that we have connected with on this trip have even been like 10 years younger than us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter because we're all human and we have these shared experiences. And to be honest, if whoever it might be that's on the road, if they've actually quit their job or they're traveling around, there's going to be something that we're going to have in common, right?
Absolutely.
There's going to be some part of each other that is, you know, united.
Mm.
And there's also that deep connection through nature, which has been a huge part for us, is like you connect with anyone if you're out in nature. Like you'll be at the river beach and there'll be other people there and everyone's happy, everyone's laughing, everyone's having a great time because they're out in nature and you just tend to have a chat with someone.
100%.
That's been one of our worst sort of like nightmares at the very start of this trip, right? Yeah, like we were like, no, because we were city people. Like we don't have time.
Yeah.
Like I'm walking from my work to my tram. I don't want to talk to anyone. Don't even look at me. Don't even smile.
Yeah.
Like you kind of get in that weird headspace, right? Being in the city. But out here, it's like you soften.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've softened.
You're public property. If you're outside of your caravan, it's you're fair so game. True. And people will speak to you. And
yeah,
most of the time, it's actually a really good interaction. give people the light of day, give people the time. It's amazing who you could actually connect with.
And even like when someone on the phone would call me, I'd be like, oh, I don't have time for that. Whereas now I just pick that phone up and I talk to those people and I feel, you know, energized to do so. So yeah, it's funny how it did change like your interactions with people. And I can clearly say that there's documented evidence of us at one point, like being like, we don't want to talk to anyone. Like we're not here to interact with people. We've got our world and we don't want anyone to come into it, to who we are today. Whereas like if we see someone camped next to us, we instantly go up to them and just say hello. If they've got a dog, we'll introduce the pets, you know, like things like that. And it really does make you... It's transferable as well, because it really does help you to learn to network and to learn to take that into another opportunity. Like say if I was stepping into, you know, business development, sales, all different kinds of industries, I've now got this confidence about me that I didn't really have, where I was quite standoffish to actually approach someone that's a stranger. Yeah. And I know how to have a conversation with them now. So it's a very interesting little thing that personally for myself I've learned on this trip.
Yeah. Like and you can also uncover many, many business opportunities
finally.
In terms of those interactions, particularly if you don't come at it from a business perspective and that something gets slotted in, piques your interest. Like for example, I got half offered a job opportunity to work in solar in the Northern Rivers in Nimbin. Right. And I kind of thought, oh, that might actually be interesting. Like the pay wasn't quite where, you know, I would be that interested, but it still uncovered an opportunity that I didn't thought existed just from a casual conversation and a lunch with someone.
It sparked a thought of like, can I create a life in a different world, like where I live in the Northern Rivers for one, where I work in maybe a trade or, you know, sales something, you know, like it's just interesting because again, like we think it's impossible to change our lives and the way that we do things and that we couldn't change location unless we were guaranteed this or that or that. But you just don't know. Like you really don't know. And you kind of open up this whole world by just having a chat to someone and someone literally offering you a job and saying, come on, move to bloody Nimbin. The Northern Rivers. Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but Nimbin. Come and move to Nimbin, live on the farm and like have a
let's go do solar together.
Yeah. And it's funny because it actually is, it's not a bad life. We've seen it.
Well, we've been exposed to so many different types of lifestyles on the road and people that you wouldn't expect are making a success of themselves.
Absolutely.
But it works. Like some of the more, I'll call them extreme examples are, we met a couple that had four children. They had a couple of dogs. They were homeschooling the children. The husband was working on the road. He was a tradesman.
No, they were both business owners.
They were both business owners, And living, working on the road, homeschooling the children.
Yeah.
They were in a big caravan, but how big of a caravan can you get when you have four kids? Like, it ain't that big, trust me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was one example. We saw proper nomadic couples that would go to markets and sell their wares at markets all up and down the West Coast. Oh, the cats come to visit. and everything in between. We've saw digital nomads, obviously fellow content creators, business people, people that trade crypto.
Yeah.
It's all possible. You're limited by only your imagination in a way.
Exactly. Exactly. And it really does make you wonder, like, it's not a one size fits all for society. Like there are these people literally doing it in a whole entire other way. And then the world is your oyster if you think of it like that, you know, like you can have two sausage dogs and a child and, you know, travel from market to market selling your you know, fashion wear. You can be a business owner and still somehow manage businesses remotely. You can be a tradesperson or a nurse. We've seen so many nurses and teachers. The cat's really interfering. There's nurses and teachers on the road who just take little contracts and travel around. So yeah, it's interesting to see that flexible work life balance that still sort of exists in some industries, and then to see like other industries kind of removing that. But yeah, it's just very interesting and very eye-opening.
What else I think has been eye-opening for me in terms of lessons learned is how little stuff you actually need in life. Not just in life, but to be happy. As an example, we had a 2-bedroom plus study house in Melbourne that we rented out. We shoved as much of our stuff as we could into storage. We disposed of some stuff that we didn't need, and we packed the rest into a relatively small caravan and a Toyota Hilux.
Yeah.
And all of that we brought with us has come along for 40,000 Ks with us. That has been our world and all of our worldly possessions.
Yeah.
Other than obviously the virtual funds and all that. And to be honest, I don't even know what's in that storage unit anymore, other than the big furniture. And I'm quite okay if it was to disappear, other than the photos and those sentimental memories.
Yeah.
I'd actually be okay with all that disappearing. I don't need that stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm happier because I have less stuff.
Yeah.
Because I can focus on the stuff that actually matters in my life. That's been a massive lesson learned. And I think I actually learned that fairly early in the trip, but now it's really solidified. And baby, we're going to have a good car when we get back. Once that storage unit opens, we'll see what we can get rid of.
It's funny, like, as a woman, like, how, like, peeling back the layers of, like, attachment to my appearance, my clothes.
Oh, God, yes.
Makeup, shoes. And like slowly and slowly needing less and less and less of all of those things. I think today I've put makeup on for the video, but to be honest, like majority of the time on this trip, I've not worn makeup, you know.
I've been radiant.
And my hair's been crazy. And it's been such an evolution of myself because I really, really held like strong attachment to those things bringing value to me and to others, like being like having to maybe even, you know, impress other people, like feeling like I wasn't really doing things for myself, but doing them just to keep up with the fashion or just to keep up with, you know, the girl across the side of the room with me looking better than I do. Or like, it's just this competitive nature that was within me that I didn't even realize until I was able to sort of strip that back. And now when I go home, I feel like it'll be more about me, the way I dress, and more about me, the way that I do my hair and how I feel, because there's been a little bit of an evolution. Like, I've learned what I actually value, what I like, even in my appearance.
So I remember my mum, my mum, before we left, was looking at every nook and cranny in this caravan to try and figure out more room for you to place and bring more shoes.
I think I've worn two pairs of shoes, and they're my trail runners and my thongs, which I bought for $4 on the road.
Yeah.
And mostly I've been barefoot, literally. I know.
No stilettos, no heels. No boots other than hiking boots. Yeah.
And look, when we've gone into some cities and stuff, we've done the glam up and, you know, dressed up and stuff. So those one or two outfits that we brought were worth those, you know, couple of beautiful dinners we've had out in Sydney and in Brisbane. And, you know, when we've tried to feel like real humans again. But those lessons won't go away. Like the deconstruction of my attachment to things to make me feel better and not feeling enough. So being able to feel the enoughness with just love for myself rather than those other things making me feel like I was more and having to feel constantly like I needed to change. Doesn't mean I will never wear makeup again. Doesn't mean I don't want to get my hair done. Doesn't mean I'll never buy nice clothes, but that feeling has changed. Yeah.
Well, you do need the basics. You obviously need shelter. And we've learned that the hard way when our roof once started leaking in a storm. So you need shelter and a dry, hopefully a bit of shelter as well. You need some food.
Yeah.
You need love. You need good people around you. But it's the amount of stuff that particularly I found that we were consuming or purchasing in the city. Yeah, there's been a tectonic shift in terms of that attitude. And I'm so glad that we've learned this lesson because I know that it's going to stick with us. We've seen it stick with us before in previous trips when we've gone overseas for extended periods of time. But now we can instead channel our focus, our energy and our money more on experiences, more on finding connections with people and each other rather than goods.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I literally was going to say that it's really solidified that spending money on experience is the best way of spending money. We've got our reliable Toyota Hilux. We didn't need like some, you know, glammed up version of that. We just needed a trusty car that works and does what it's supposed to do, a little workhorse.
Yeah.
We had our crappy little, you know, caravan.
Not
we
so didn't, crappy.
No, it's not actually. It's very sturdy, but we didn't get the, you know, Kedron or the Lotus caravan, which is what we originally had in our minds. And every time they drive past, we're just like, but we didn't have it. And we're okay.
We've got a 2004 Supreme 15-foot off-road caravan. Tough as nails. This thing has got through Great Central Road, Oodnadatta Track, Gibb River Road. These are very serious roads, by the way. Barely a scratch on it.
And, like, we didn't need, like, it would have been nice for comfort, but it wasn't necessary to have the glammed up version of what we did in order to have done it. So, yes, spending money on experiences, spending money on time with your loved ones, whether that's going out to do something together, whether that's traveling together.
Diving with whale sharks.
Yes.
Looking at crocodiles jumping out of the water, going on an Aboriginal cultural tour and finding bush tucker.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
That's why we're here. It's not to show off our rig. It's not to compare the tires that we have or the electrical system. And that does happen a lot on the road, but... Yeah. Thankfully, we didn't get drawn into that. We disconnected from that sort of crap very early on.
Yeah.
And we just focused on the experiences. And I think that's a really good model for life.
Mm.
Hard to integrate with your working life if you go full time because you obviously need to earn your tucker. But when you do have that downtime, whether it's a very large trip or a smaller trip, that laser focus on experience, I reckon, will take to the grave.
Absolutely. You'll never, ever regret spending money on experiences, 100%.
Mm. So it's another lesson learned from you. You put me on the spot before, so it's my turn. Just give me one more. One more.
Another lesson learned is that living in a city is not an ideal world. And I mean, you need to get out to nature. And I don't know what that looks like for everyone else. For me, it's like has to be like getting out to nature, like climbing a bloody mountain or like swimming in the ocean or, you know, kayaking, something really deep in nature and really hopefully, you know, able to just disconnect completely from the world around and just focus on being present in nature. Like that's always going to be my biggest lesson learned and how living in a city has actually made me feel quite highly strung, anxious, sometimes depressed because there was times...
Overwhelmed,
yeah. So there was times when my emotions were getting the best of me. And what I've learned on the road is that when I'm out here, I can really like snap out of things a lot quicker.
Mm.
I can regulate my emotions a lot better. And okay, we're not working. There's a few stresses that are not around. But I mean, when I've had the opportunity and felt like overwhelmed and stepped out, just had my feet on the grass, I've been able to really ground myself and really feel that deep connection. So how do I take that back into my life at home? Whether that means moving to an area that is surrounded by nature, if that's what it looks like, or just ensuring that when I catch up with my friends, why instead of always going to a cafe or always going to dinner, why don't we go for a walk? Why don't we go for a hike? Like, let's go out and, you know, visit something, you know, outside of the city.
Just
so
get
I
out.
Think, yeah. And I think that that's just such a humongous lesson for me is that the longer that you're away from nature, the more those feelings are uncontrollable and more stress you feel, the more your nervous system is dysregulated. So how to integrate that back into work life, full-time possible work, is just, yeah, like I said, trying to really, instead of catching up with your friends, you know, at a bar, like why not just say, hey, do you want to meet me at Brimbank Park and we'll go for a nice walk, you know? So I think that that's something that I will really value and I'll really take into my life moving forward. And I think it will be beneficial for my friends. I kind of started doing it as a business back at home because I started to understand that that's what I needed because when we started this trip, we had just kind of the idea had come from us going out camping and doing things in nature, right? And realizing that we felt good when we did that. So integrating that with your friends, integrating it with your family, and yeah, just taking that time. I think it's very important to keep you centered, to keep you grounded, to make work easier.
Yeah, honestly. Definitely. Such a good insight. Why do you think that you do feel better in nature? Do you think that maybe there are healing properties that come with being in nature? Because I feel that that's...
Definitely.
Nature's actually a healer.
Yeah, definitely.
We're getting back into our default human mode. Because believe it or not, humans are natural creatures. We're not from originally the cities. We're not from concrete jungles. We're from the earth. We're natural beings.
Yeah.
So is it not natural to feel cleansed and free and healed from being in nature?
My answer to that is try it out and see how you feel. Because I can guarantee that you're going to say yes. Like, there is healing properties in nature. There is science to back that. But just go out and do it. Because I think I said this actually in the first podcast. So that's one thing that's synchronized and it's still the same for then and now, is literally like if you go sit on a rock and you're not got your phone on you, you're just there sitting and you start to just kind of tune into your senses, like what do I hear, what do I smell, what do I see, you'll feel your body go from maybe like a 8 to a 5, like in terms of, you know, presence and calmness. And it's meditating, right? With the most basic version of meditating is just to sit somewhere in nature, in my eyes, just to sit somewhere in nature and just go, what do I hear? What do I smell? What do I see? Breathing nice and deeply. And honestly, I guarantee you, you're just going to feel better. Like you don't need to know the reasons why. You don't even need to understand the science behind it.
You don't need to think.
No, and that's what it is, right? So I think in the city, you're overstimulated because there's sounds of, you know, traffic, there's sirens, there's people, there's work, there's cement buildings and brick buildings, and there's a lot going on. There's traffic lights, there's a lot happening around you. It's busy. And our minds are already busy. Like, that's one thing I've learned as well on this trip, is that my mind didn't get any quieter in the way that I think. I was just able to shut it off quicker. Well, not shut it off, but like kind of, you know, home in on one thing because I had the time and the space to do that. But you can do that in your office. You can do that everywhere, right? So, but going out to nature and just being out there is a form of meditation, and therefore you're getting so many benefits. We don't realize how overstimulated we are. So,
particularly if you have something like ADHD or if you're on the spectrum, you know, the modern world can be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
I've seen it with colleagues. I've seen it with you, with your ADHD.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen you just dial all that back down when you're in nature and you're a completely different person.
Yeah.
And look, you can perform at your best once you come back and plug back into that modern
world. Absolutely. And that's what I mean. You can take those experiences into the workplace, because when you're at work, you're going to still have those same feelings of anxiety, but the same thing that you would do out in nature, you can do in the office. You can sort of go, okay, I just need one minute of my day, like just to, you know, what do I hear? What do I feel? What do I smell?
Yeah.
What do I see? And just kind of calming yourself down. But in nature, it's like on steroids.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you feel that whole body experience.
And the best part about nature is you don't need to go away for a year and go live in the bush for a year like we have. If you have a creek near your house, even if you have a park, go lay in a park, go lay under a tree, go visit a water source.
Yeah.
There's actually scientific evidence that it's called negative ions. So when you're next to a waterfall or other movement of water, then there's negative ions. I don't know the science behind it, but they actually positively impact your psyche and actually scientifically calm you down.
Yep.
You know, it can be as simple as going away for a little day trip. It doesn't have to be a gigantic trip, but if you can do that gigantic trip, trust me, it's worth it.
But your performance is going to be better when you come back, because you've literally like being able to pretty much, you're like a Tesla car that you've just plugged in at the energy station and you've given yourself like a real good reboot, and now you've got the energy for the week ahead, right?
Yep.
And I think that's where people are lacking in the city life. If you're not doing that, you're kind of, just stuck in that high frequency and that really intense, like, you know, world, and then you're not taking that time to plug in and charge.
Yeah. A part of me really cannot wait to get back, because I'm roaring to come back into the business world. I've got so much energy and focus, and I just know that the next thing that I'm going to sink my teeth into, you know, it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
And I could not have done that if I hadn't have gone on this trip.
Yeah.
I do admit I was a little bit burnt out when I started, maybe quite burnt out, had, you know, quite a few war wounds from, you know, spending many, many hours in the office, and particularly through COVID, it was quite a tough time. A lot of growth, but very, very difficult. But now with this renewed vigor and energy and focus, it's been so, so incredible. And I think that we'll actually come back much stronger than when we left. Even if
definitely
some people doubted, even if some people thought, oh, you're taking such a long career break, that's going to negatively impact your career. I think it's going to be quite the opposite.
I think it's impossible for it to have negatively impacted your career if you're at the point of burnout.
Yeah.
Because you see in men, you know, throughout the world, like suicide rates in business people, suicide rates in investment bankers, like
generally unhappiness, like, general.
Right. And just general unhappiness, like marriages that don't work out, things like they might not be all connected, but some of the time they are connected to that constant, you know, needing to be a performer, like performing constantly at a certain level. So I think it's impossible that if you take time to work on yourself, to sort of check in with where you're at and everything like this, it's impossible that that's a negative thing. Like whether or not you get you go straight back into the job that you imagined, whether or not you've manifested the world and, you know, this has come, all of the opportunities have just all come, that's irrelevant. But it's never going to be a negative experience, because the reality is you were almost burnt out, right? That was never going to end well.
No.
It wasn't going to end well either for your relationship. It wasn't going to end well for yourself. And it wasn't going to end well for the business.
Something's got to give. And absolutely. Usually it's one of those three things that gives.
Absolutely.
And then it's hard to pick up those pieces after that.
And I think sometimes, especially men, sacrifice their happiness in the external world outside of work for work, and then everything outside of work falls apart.
Mm.
And that happens. I've seen it in my friendships, like their relationships with people that, you know, have husbands that work away, who work these long, long hours. Their relationships did crumble because they didn't have the time to they didn't have the energy and the time to nurture their relationships, you know? So I think if you've got this drive, this idea that you need to take time off, there's something telling you to do that, or to go to a yoga class, or to go and meditate, or to go on
an ecstatic dance,
gosh knows what it can be, like just do it, because your body's asking you for help. And there is no point in having burnt out people in the workplace, and there is no point in sacrificing your home life, your love life, your friendships and relationships for work either. You know, like there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance.
And that balance is actually what you've just described there, is listening to your heart or your gut.
Yep.
And not necessarily listening with your head, because the head will say, if I go and take time away, extend a period of time, I will earn less money. Yeah. I'll jeopardize my lifestyle. You know, your brain starts to create all these scenarios where you think that the world's probably going to fall apart. Well, we haven't worked in over 10 months, and I had a big problem with spending money, my savings, when I left this trip. We're still here. We're still strong. Very hopeful for the future. You know, we've talked about so many amazing positive things from this trip. It's okay. Listen to your heart. Listen to your gut. Doesn't always have to be about what your head is saying.
Yeah.
Because those lessons can only be learnt when you listen to the heart.
And humans are adaptable. We can, you know, we're these beautiful creative beings. We are these, you know, amazing creatures that can learn to adapt to different situations and scenarios. Like where we felt like we needed to cut back on costs, we found ways that we never thought were possible because we had a certain caliber of lifestyle. Like, you know, you can do things that you don't think you can do.
Yeah.
And the other thing is a lot of the time our fears are equally as irrational as things working out, you know, like, so there's like this, what if it works out? What if it doesn't? They're equal chance, you know, like it's a 50-50. So
even if it doesn't work out, there'll be lessons there, and you'll learn that from them, and you'll move on. Unless it's a life-threatening situation.
Yeah.
The lessons are fine. You know, we've had so many things happen on this trip where, particularly, you know, with our gear, we've been in the desert, we've, you know, cracked one of our water tank hoses and it's drained all the water in the middle of the desert. No towns for like 600 Ks.
Yeah.
And we had to get a little bit creative with how we save water and utilize what we had left. So you will adapt. You can adapt. It's fine. Go out there. Do it.
Absolutely.
Follow your dreams. Take the time.
Yeah.
Discover what life is really about. That's the one biggest takeaway, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. And you cannot replace that growth. Like, that growth is the most invaluable thing. I confused myself for a second. It is, because, yeah, like, and a workplace really should, you know, nurture that and love that, because you're growing and you are just going to be bigger and better when you come back. You're going to really take off because, for one, you've charged the Tesla, you're feeling pretty good energetically, but you've learned about yourself, you've discovered new talents, you've discovered new ways of adapting, better interpersonal skills, different, you know, so many different things that we've picked up on this trip, so many different things. And even just the value of work, like, that's one of the biggest relationships changes, like the perception changes that I think we've both had, is like, work is really important. It's really important because it helps you to live the life you want to live. It helps you to, you know,
obtain the skills that you need.
Absolutely. It's just
helps you connect to people. It's it's not about ending work. That's not where we're at now. It's quite the opposite.
No. And it doesn't have to be completely your purpose. Like, work can be separate to the things you love. It can be work and you can do it well and you can, you know, while you're there, be all present and, you know, really, really care about the company and all of those kind of things. But you can also, like, have it separate to the things that you want to do outside of work and love. And that was a really huge realization for us, is like, trying to make work your purpose is sometimes just exhausting.
Yeah. Well, the reality is, work may not tick all of the boxes. It probably won't tick all of the boxes that you need in life. So we shouldn't expect it to. But if it ticks a lot of boxes, and if it enables you to then go out and live your life the way you want to live it and tick the remainder of the boxes that you need elsewhere, that's absolutely not just okay. That's sweet. Like,
and if you're going to do something, do it wholeheartedly. Do it with all of your, you know, energy, because what is the point of showing up to work half-assed? Like, what is the point of not putting yourself out there because of fear? Like, life is limited. Time is limited. Just, if you're going to be going to work anyway, like, be present. Treat it like you would treat going out to nature on the weekend. Like, what do you hear? What do you see? What do you feel? Like, be present every single day in everything you do. Mundane tasks, work, and all of the hobbies and spending time with your family. Always be present.
Amazing. I think that's probably, we'll leave it there, because that is an incredible insight.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for getting together again. I know it's been a while, and I know I see you pretty much every day of every week. But it
feels different this way, though.
It does feel different, and it's a really, really special way of digesting and connecting. And I hope that we've been able to inspire some thought in people, and, you know, let them know that the world isn't always black and white.
No.
And there are so many lessons to be learned along the way, but you need to be on a journey. You're not going to necessarily learn those lessons if you're stationary and if you're just listening to the head. So get out there.
Yeah.
Go do what you need to do. Listen to your body. Listen to your heart. And see how the world opens up in front of you.
And let go of expectations. Once you do that, everything is so much easier.
You're free.
So much easier.
You're free.
Yeah. Alrighty.
All right. Well, I don't know when we'll come to you next, but we will probably come to you from Melbourne. Maybe there'll be a few more lessons learned and lessons to digest. But thank you so much for listening and watching. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Let us know what you thought in the comments. We'd love to hear your feedback. And I promise we will read all of the comments and probably even respond to them if they're good enough. I mean, if they're positive enough.
Oh.
Bye for now.
Bye.